Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 8, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Jonga Kandemiri.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
President Robert Mugabe appeals for peace in Zimbabwe, saying protesters should not engage in violent activities.
We cannot make much progress. There would be division, quarreling, fighting, violence. And that is why things like protests don't pay.
Zimbabwe's army commander threatens to deal ruthlessly with protesters abusing social media.
He's supposed to be there to be chatting about the wedding you attended yesterday. The social media has now been turned like what we saw in North Africa when the Arab Spring, you know, happened.
South African police and the National Army dispersed Zimbabwean protesters at Musina border post.
And Kirsty Coventry fails to make it in the 100-meter backstroke competition.
These are stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
South African police, with the assistance of the army, today dispersed the thousands of people who had converged at the Musina border post protesting against the law banning the importation of some goods. Reports from the border town say there were skirmishes between the police and some protesters, resulting in the arrest of a handful of people. Organizers of the protest said they were going to picket at the border post, discouraging any commercial activity at all the country's border posts until the ban is reversed. Studio 7 was not able to ascertain the level of activity at other border crossings. Chris Gande of Studio 7 spoke to one of the organizers of the protest, Dennis Juru, of the International Cross Borders Association, who says they are confident that the protest will force the Zimbabwean authorities to reverse the ban.
The turnout was very, very impressive. People gathered at China Mall as our assembly point, and unfortunately, South African police approached us together with the South African army, and then they subsequently dispersed the people. Now we have regrouped again at the border, and we have just finished addressing the people.
What do you think has been the effect, especially in terms of curtailing the commercial activities?
On the side of the commercial activities, totally there was nothing. I mean, there was no commercial activities. And we're also happy that at Roodepoort bus station, there was no activities. Buses tried to load people, but there was no people to load.
And do you see this continuing in the next few days?
We're going to continue. Today was our first day, and we are happy with the turnout as the first day. I think by tomorrow we are going to have, a big...
But the way we understand this protest is that people are not supposed to do any commercial activities. But here you are telling us there was a crowd. Can you explain to us?
There was no commercial activities at all, even now. You can see it, Bedbridge Border Post, there is no activities taking place, commercial activities taking place.
That was Dennis Juru, president of the International Cross Borders Traders Association, speaking to Studio 7's Chris Gande on the line from South Africa.
The recent move by the Post and Telecommunications Regulatory Authority of Zimbabwe, or POTRAS, directing mobile service providers to scrap various promotions that they have been giving to subscribers have raised concern that the government is trying to curtail freedom of expression. Taura Ishava reports from Bulawayo.
Some people who spoke to Studio 7 said they are concerned that the directive to Zimbabwe's three mobile operators, Econet, Net1 and Telecel, to stop free airtime promotions could be government's way, through the regulatory authority, of bridling freedom of expression. One Bulawayo resident, Tinayo Shumba, said she is suspicious of the move given the fact that activists behind many of the protests that have occurred in the country have been making use of social media. Chairperson Ipitule Maposa of ZAPU's youth wing in the Bulawayo province echoed similar sentiments.
We are dealing with a government that has disregarded any need for consulting people or citizens on whatever they wish to do. They are trying to use the authority to curtail the use of mobile telephones by citizens, especially in the view of increasing use of social media by anti-government protests that are increasing by the day. Another view is that the government, broke as it is seeking to boost revenue on taxation of voice calls, which of late have gone down.
Studio 7 was not able to get comment from Potras on the issue, but Econet Wireless Zimbabwe Chief Executive Titus Mboweni confirmed that they have been directed by Potras to stop the promotion. The three mobile service providers recently issued notices that the regulatory authority had directed them to stop with immediate effect the various promotions that they were providing to clients. A resident, who only identified herself as Michelle, said the move, though unpopular, is one way of government's attempt to protect national security.
I think it's a good move for Potras to stop these promotions in a bid of promoting national security. As much as we are enjoying the benefits of it, but we need also to look at the bigger picture. Because as a nation, as many governments around the world are doing, they also monitor communications.
Koliwe Majama, a broadcasting and information technology programs officer with the Media Institute of Southern Africa, told Studio 7 that her organization has, together with other stakeholders, met with Potras in the past to discuss this issue and the pricing of internet or data services by service providers. Majama said while the directive is within Potras' mandate as the supervisory body, what is worrying is that it is coming at a time when there have been threats from the armed forces to citizens over abuse of social media.
This cut is very worrying, especially when in the past week we've had warnings from even the army relating to the use of social media, and obviously coming from the background that there's been a lot of mobilization, activism, conversations and free expression on the internet. So it's a concern.
Deputy Director Butler Tambo of the Center for Public Engagement, speaking as an independent policy analyst, slammed the move.
I think it's generally a retrogressive move, again, in a country where there is very little disposable income for the common man and woman in the street. People could advertise on WhatsApp their products, their services and the like, and they could get customers and they could be able to transact and make an extra dollar, especially in this hard terrain economically that Zimbabwe is currently going through.
The Potras directive comes at a time when government, through the Information and Communication Technology Ministry, is working on a computer and cybercrime draft law, which is said to be aimed at helping in enhancing national security while also bringing so-called abusers of social media to book. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shawa.
President Robert Mugabe has appealed for peace in Zimbabwe, saying while protesters have a right to stage peaceful marches in the country, they should not engage in violent activities. Mr. Mugabe's call came at a time when Zimbabwe Defense Forces Commander General Constantine Guvea Chiwenga warned protesters that they will face the wrath of the war of the law. Our reporter Chwaneso Jani has more.
Addressing thousands of people at the National Heroes Acre to mark Heroes Day today, President Mugabe said Zimbabweans should desist from violent public protests. Mr. Mugabe said while Zimbabweans have a right to stage peaceful protests, they should do so peacefully.
What is important is in our circumstances, we have peace, law and order. And we praise our security forces for that.
But Mr. Mugabe noted that protests do not build a nation.
We cannot make much progress. There would be division, quarreling, fighting, violence, and that is why things like protests don't pay.
Some Zimbabweans, driven by Pastor Ivan Mawarire of hashtag this flag, Tajamuka Sisinjikile campaign, and others have been staging protests demanding an end to serious social and economic issues affecting the country. At the same time, General Chiwenga fired a broadside at the protesters, saying they are abusing social media in trying to bring regime change in the country. General Chiwenga, who held a press conference soon after President Mugabe's address, said Zimbabwe will be forced to come up with strict laws to stop the abuse of social media.
And people, when they use this, they don't understand the consequences. You are being told by someone to destroy yourself. How then are you going to survive? You think those people, when you have destroyed yourself, they will come and say, oh, sorry, we did this. Now we are now coming to help you to build your country. Or can they bring life back? We've been watching these things. And of course, if people misuse something, then the laws will be crafted.
He further said social media was not designed to effect regime change in any nation.
First, our people must understand, whenever it came, I don't think the aim and objective of it was to go and then start destroying one's, one's country or, a community, or to destroy each other. Is supposed to be there to be chatting about the wedding you attended yesterday, right? Chat about your own life, your own social life, which does not harm your other friend. Now the social media has now been turned, as I have highlighted, like what we saw in North Africa when the Arab Spring happened. Now it has happened. What has now come of those countries?
General Chiwenga said the Zimbabwe National Army won't stand and look as the nation is burning. He further noted that President Mugabe is the legitimate leader of Zimbabwe.
The African proverb which says, Hakuna zuva rinobuda rimwe risati ranyura, holds true. Because no nation can ever have two leaders at any one time. Therefore, the ZDF will never accept an unconstitutional change of government, and we stand firm and unequivocal by the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe and Commander-in-Chief of the Zimbabwe Defense Forces, His Excellency Commander Jim Gabe, who was duly and democratically elected by the people of Zimbabwe in 2013.
The army commander said Zimbabweans should forget about changing the government through undemocratic means. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Chioneso Jani.
Indications are that some war veterans who dumped the president recently boycotted the Heroes Day event. Meanwhile, former Vice President Joyce Mujuru claims that the president, Robert Mugabe, abandoned war veterans a long time ago, and he is a difficult person to work with. Mrs. Mujuru, who was expelled from the ruling ZANU-PF party for allegedly attempting to topple Mr. Mugabe and then formed Zimbabwe People First, says the time is up for the Zimbabwean leader. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa has more from Chinoy.
Speaking at a rally at Gazema Grounds on Saturday, Mr. Mujuru said it is now time for the war veterans of the 1970s to force President Mugabe to realize that his time is up. She said this can be done in many ways, including peaceful public protests. Mrs. Mujuru claimed that war veterans used to approach her seeking help, and she used to refer them to President Mugabe, who is their patron. She claimed that the president did not address their grievances. However, this could not be verified by state officials and the war veterans. She also alleged that the president is a very difficult person to work with and does not listen to any advice.
He is the biggest chauvinist, that man. I wasn't close to War Veterans Association. I had to shift everything to him. Nothing was taken.
Mrs. Mujuru said it's now time for opposition parties to work with each other in order to remove the ruling ZANU-PF party and President Mugabe from office. She urged members of the public to continue staging public protests, saying even state security agents of the spy network, the Central Intelligence Organization, the National Army and the police should help in rebuilding Zimbabwe. Zimpie failed to approach the High Court to get permission to hold the rally after Chinoy police cancelled the event, citing lack of adequate manpower on the 11th hour. High Court Justice Joseph Musakwa granted the party permission to hold the event on Saturday morning. ZIMPF spokesperson Jealous Mawarire said surprisingly only Mashonaland West Police are denying them permission to hold such events. Mawarire said it is now clear that Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo is behind the refusal as a way to fix his former wife, ZIMPF Provincial Chairperson Marian Chombo.
It is the third time that such a thing has happened here in Mashonaland West. So it's deliberate, you can see, and we are beginning to suspect that there is an extra motivation, especially from the Minister of Home Affairs, because apparently his ex-wife is our provincial coordinator. So it's something that is going beyond below enforcement to personal grudges that emanate from the broken marriage.
Former ZANU-PF Politburo member Dzikamai Mavaire warned the police to be professional and to desist from being used by ZANU-PF politicians because ZIMPF will form a new government after 2018 elections. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Atach Goriwa.
For perspective, we turned to political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga, who says Heroes Day has lost its significance thanks to bad governance by Mr. Mugabe.
Naturally, I think given the state Zimbabwe is in and the divisions that Zimbabwe faces, it is a state that's divided. When you look at then the people from Matabeleland, I doubt they would find any form of significance looking at the state, the way it is configured, the way it's been running since 1980. So this a day like this, which is a so-called Heroes Celebration Day, it's a day that really is fictitious to them because the heroes that are configured, the heroes that are celebrated, the heroes that have been presented as a symbol of the state are heroes that are actually not the heroes. So in that regard, it is a day that people are likely to perceive and try to understand from different perspectives that really are positive on the one hand for those that have benefited and negative on those that have differed and not benefited.
The military is increasingly getting meddlesome in ZANU-PF politics, also threatening protesters and opposition members who threaten ZANU-PF's rule. What do you make of that?
Well, it is natural that the military would have said that, particularly those at the echelons, the high echelons of the military. You're talking about army commanders and them. Because the state itself was captured by a group of people who obviously had the military so-called liberation force, which didn't really transmit it properly into a proper civilian state and allowed that the separation of powers. What we have had over the years is a paramilitary state where the president himself is a securocratic-driven kind of leader.
Political analyst Brilliant Mhlanga on the line with reporter Ntungabile Nkomo from the UK.
We now take a look at regional and international news.
U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is outlining his economic plan, calling for tax cuts, curbs on government regulation of businesses, and measures to boost the fortunes of middle-income workers.
A powerful bomb exploded Monday in a hospital complex in the southwestern Pakistani city of Quetta, killing more than 50 people and wounding more than 60, witnesses said police. Lawyers accounted for most of the victims, according to initial reports.
And unknown armed men have kidnapped two foreigners thought to be a U.S. citizen and an Australian in the Afghan capital, Kabul. The two are believed to be employees of the American University of Afghanistan. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C.
The The Director of Epidemiology and Disease Control in Zimbabwe's Ministry of Health, Dr. Portia Manangazira, is urging members of the public to adopt good hygiene practices and boil drinking water to avoid diarrheal diseases, especially amongst children under five. Dr. Manangazira says her ministry has embarked on a program to immunize children against the rotavirus, a move that is assisting in reducing the high incidence of diarrheal diseases among those under five.
We still have a huge burden of diarrheal diseases. And what worries us most as a Minister of Health and Child Care is that the majority of the morbidity is among children under the age of five, and even the deaths also occur mostly among children under the age of five. And this is really because the determinants of the diarrheal diseases are largely unaddressed in terms of adequate provision of safe water, especially in the urban areas, but also even the sanitation remains quite poor in both the rural and urban areas. And this impacts negatively on even individual hygiene and food safety. So our concern is really the burden of disease, of diarrheal illness among the children. So however, we are happy that over the past 3 years, following introduction of rotavirus vaccination, we have seen a significant decline in the under-5 diarrheal cases. And on further analysis, it's actually those that are 2 years and below. And you might recall that we're just coming out of winter. This is where we used to see a peak of diarrhea among the under-5, and it was really mostly attributable to rotavirus infection. So at least the vaccination bit is really indicating that we've succeeded. So we still continue advocating for provision of safe water sanitation so that we address the causes of the diarrhea illness, particularly in the children.
You talked about the rotavirus. How successful has your immunization program been? And also, where are the immunizations actually administered for those parents that may want to get their children immunized?
So the rotavirus vaccination is embedded within the childhood immunization program, our expanded program on immunization. And the vaccines are available at all our health facilities, those run by central government, by local government in terms of the urban and rural local authorities. So as long as parents and guardians present with their children at the clinics in the country, they can actually access the rotavirus vaccination, and this is free of charge. Even in the private sector, we have accredited private sector outlets that give the vaccination, and they are supposed to be provided free of charge to the children, or at a very minimal, administrative cost, just to cover the administrative charges. According to our schedule, at 10 weeks, children are supposed to get the rotavirus vaccine. But you also remember that each vaccine is targeted at a specific disease. So the schedule still starts at death with BCG all the way up to 18 months with the boosters.
What are the symptoms of diarrhea, especially in the young children under 5? What should parents be on the lookout for?
Thank you, and that's really important. I think parents usually know their child's bowel habits, and it tends to be different for children that are being breastfed and those that are not being breastfed, or those that have been weaned and on family diet. So any change from the usual bowel habits, particularly watery stools, increased frequency.
And what can you give as advice to parents in the meantime when it comes to trying to avoid their children getting diarrheal diseases? What should they be on the lookout for?
Thank you. I think it is very important for parents to understand the value of hygiene and sanitation. We continue to remind them to ensure that food is safe when it's eaten. It's also not contaminated, by ensuring that leftover food has been covered. When we are eating leftover food, it has been thoroughly reheated.
That was the Director of Epidemiology and Disease Control in the Health Ministry, Dr. Portia Manangazira, in Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Chungamili Nkomo.
And we are the host for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow as we discuss threats by the government to crack down on those using the internet and social media for political activism. Movements like hashtag this flag have been viral on social media, calling for the government to address challenges in the country.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
In our sports segment, Kirsty Coventry this morning failed to reach the final of the 100-meter backstroke. Reporter Michael Cariati gives us the story.
The Zimbabwean swimming sensation found the going tough against a new generation of young swimmers after she finished 11th out of 16 contestants at the Olympics Aquatic Center in Rio de Janeiro. The Zimbabwean could not go under 1 minute and managed to finish the course in 1 minute and 26 seconds. The race was won by Catherine Baker of the USA in 58.8402 seconds, followed by Katinka Hosuzu of Hungary in 58.94 seconds, with Fu Yuanai of China in third place after a time of 58.95 seconds. Coventry will now take a rest as she looks forward to her best event, the 200-meter backstroke, where a place in the final is within reach. The 200-meter backstroke is tomorrow. Still with the Olympics, the mighty warriors still have a glimmer of hope of qualifying to the next stage should they beat Australia in their third and final Group F qualifier tomorrow. There are 3 slots reserved for the third best placed teams, and 3 points for the Zimbabweans off the Aussies could do the trick. Canada led the group with 4 points, followed by Germany with 3. Australia have 1 point, but that will not count should they lose to the Zimbabweans. The question is, can the mighty warriors pull off a miracle? Now to local soccer. Border Strikers produced the shock of the week, if not of the season, after a 2-1 win yesterday over Dynamos at Dulibazimu Stadium. Information coming from the border town is that the celebrations which rocked the town were as if Border Strikers had won the league title and they had every reason to celebrate to those limits. The 2-1 win has seen bottom-placed Border Strikers move to 10 points, 3 behind their closest rivals, Cholocho Pirates, and coach Neva Malunga is convinced they will survive relegation.
Our chances are very, very high. Very, very high. And I know it, we are going to survive. Just a matter of time.
Dynamo's fans were so incensed by their team's defeat that they turned against their own coach Lloyd Mtasa, a man who only 6 weeks ago they were lifting shoulder high. Dynamo's have picked up only 4 points from a possible 15. Not a healthy situation. Also burning is the Highlanders' house after Boso fell to their 4th consecutive defeat, this time 2-1 at the hands of Triangle at Gibbo Stadium. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk when we'll be discussing about Heroes Day. My name is Jonga Kandemiri. Thank you for tuning in to Studio 7.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing a pleasant evening and a very good Heroes Holiday.